fix my mic and stuff. Ah, we can start. You want to start now?
Why is it not telling
me? Yeah. Hey everyone, this is Alon.
Hey, I'm Dave, that's the Pussy Round. You kiss fan.
And this is episode 26 of the All Is Rational K-Pop Podcast. So, how are you, Yukis fan?
I am a little bit tired. I came home today after work and absolutely crashed. I got off at 5. My ride was actually available for me at 5 o'clock, which is different. That hardly ever happens. Mm-hmm. And I got home probably 5:15, 5:20. Changed my clothes, fell asleep. I woke up maybe 7:20-ish, looked at the time, decided 1 hour of sleep was not enough to make up for last night. Went back to sleep. I actually got up probably 6 or 7 minutes to 10, which is when the recording was actually supposed to start. Mm-hmm. And then I decided, okay, I'm going to pull myself out of bed now. But I'm kind of rested, but I still feel tired.
Oh, well. I hope you don't lose your voice, okay? Not in the middle of this episode. Please.
It's not going to happen. Good. But last night, I felt it. Like, my voice was straining and my throat was kind of hurting. So.
Yeah, I blame that other show. I blame that other show.
But, my coworker, I told her, like, I was tired. I kind of explained the reason behind it, though. I didn't say I was in a podcast recording. I just said I was talking to someone on Skype that has a time difference. Uh-huh. So it explains, you know, going late into the night without going into, you know, the nerdery of what I was actually doing. And I told her when she went out for lunch to just get me some candy and hopefully it would carry me through the last 3 hours of work. She got me like $2 worth of candy, but like the bag she gave me was like, I cannot believe $2 buys this much candy.
Oh my god, so Sugar Rush worked for you for the last 3 hours?
Yeah, it kind of helped that I sort of woke up in the middle there, so.
Yeah. Well, at least you got through the last 3 hours of work. No.
It wasn't the last three, that was a problem. It was the first four.
Work was uneventful for me. Except that I threw a hissy fit today. So that's the event. Main event of the day, I suppose. Then I had to do someone's makeup when I got home. And then, mm-hmm. You know, I was standing up. I was up on my feet for about an hour. It hurts. My back hurts because the chair wasn't high enough. I was telling you earlier that she wanted smoky eyes in the morning, going to someone's wedding. I'm like, not gonna happen. Oh well. In the end, we compromised. Slightly smoky purple eyes. Goodness. Oh well. Alright.
So, I guess let's get right into the news. Yeah. I guess it's the most popular topic.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure how popular it is, but we spoke about it a little bit in the last episode, which was, of course, 2 days before it really happened. But Kim Hee-chul went into the army this Thursday.
Yes. September 1.
He showed off his shaved head the
day before. He looks good, huh? With a shaved head.
He's had short hair before. I think part of the problem is that the hairstyle that he had prior to that made him look so much like an old man.
The long hair.
And he's had long hair before and he didn't look like he was in his mid-30s, but the short hair look was really refreshing. And I didn't expect him to look bad with short hair. I just wanted to see it. And then, you know, he thanked all of his fans mm-hmm. on Twitter in several different languages.
That was sweet of him.
Then he went off to the army and
that's it. The Super Junior boys didn't show him off because he wanted it that way. He didn't really want to make a big deal out of it. So, yeah. Good luck, Hee-chul. come back again in 2 years as an adult, or so you say. Because that's what we said.
That's what everyone says. They'll come back as a grown-up. And I guess to some extent, the things they've gone through and seen and stuff like that would mature them, perhaps only in one way. But no one's ever really came back more reserved than they were before. Maybe it's an effort to show everybody that, you know, they're still the same person.
Yeah.
Or to capitalize on the popularity they had before they left. So.
Oh, Peachel also, I think, recorded a duet with Kang Jung-hoon. It will be released in the middle of September. So there is something waiting for his fans a few weeks after he goes in the army. So don't be sad, Kim Peachel fans, Super Junior fans. He's gonna be back. And besides, he's not gonna be all dirty and stuff. Maybe just for the first week, basic training. How many weeks do they have?
Training is more than 1 week.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I think it's 6 weeks.
Well, basic training in the first 6 weeks, yeah. But then, you know, he's gonna be behind the desk, public service, so he'll be fine. I just hope he tweets a lot. I doubt it.
There have been people that have tweeted while they're in the army. It was primarily like in the last few months before they left. But I guess that's because this is when Twitter really got popular recently in Korea. So
Maybe so. Okay, now let's see what else we have here. Okay, now I have news about the extent of Soo Young's injury. No. Well, I have an idea now because according to her sister, she bled a lot and she could have died. And she also said that she cracked her tailbone. Soo Young cracked her tailbone. And I know that hurts a lot. And how dare you, SM, for downplaying her injury? She could have died. Shame on you.
The sacrum is very close to the tailbone anyway. It's the wide bone of your hip, I guess. I'm not sure if it's the right side or the left side. I think it's the right side. But like when we looked at the image of which bone this was, it's like there's no way this is not a serious injury. And then Seung's sister gets interviewed and she says that they really both fit for their life in the accident. That's how bad it was. And then she mentions that she can't be in a cast because of where the injury is. Basically, you'd like be in almost a full body cast. And she says that the ideal thing for Seon to do is just rest, because definitely, you know, you can't have the bone immobilized like you would if you broke your arm or your leg. You could put it in a cast and then not worry really about it moving a lot, but just, you know, walking has to be excruciating pain.
Not even walking, sitting down must be painful.
And
damn,
here they're saying, you know, she can't do intensive dance moves, but like if it's a song with a lot of choreography, she could be on stage. And I'm just like, why would you? I understand the collectivist mentality. I understand the for the good of the group thing. But there are 9 members in Swing Initiative, for God's sake. I think they can handle it for
a month or two. Goodness gracious! I mean, shame on you, SM. I do not trust any of these entertainment companies downplaying any sort of injury. Okay? Minor accident, minor injuries, my butt. So, yeah, Soo Young, I hope you get well soon. Don't move around too much. And don't force yourself.
I don't want to appear on stage. Like, I don't even want to hear of Soo Young appearing on stage for at least the next 2 months.
Yeah. Damn it. She lost a lot of blood. There you go. When Soo Young's sister's interview came out, and then comparing it to what SM said, I'm like, these assholes? How could she do that? How could you downplay her injury like that? You know, whatever.
Easy. Same way they've been downplaying injuries forever. But the thing, the only one that wasn't downplayed, I think, was the Super Junior car crashes.
Dude, how could you downplay that? That's horrible.
Kyuhyun was almost dead. Heechul was almost dead. So, and then Heechul especially is a talkative person, and they've never been able to stop him from saying anything.
Can't control him. Yeah. Can't put a sock in his mouth. No, that's how he is. Okay. Let's move on. I don't want to talk about that because I'm just going to get upset. Okay.
So, the interesting to me thing to me, because Soribada has been pushing their English version of the site, is that Soribada and Mnet were accused this week of selling music illegally.
Yeah.
Selling music internationally illegally. Because I guess the licenses that they have with the entertainment groups is only to determine domestic distribution.
Yep.
And some of the companies, they do not have a license to distribute internationally. Which, you know, I've run up against in Soribada. They say that, you know, the song is not available in your region. And the assumption is that they don't have the rights to distribute it yet. But I was not aware that, I think YG songs in particular were being distributed without permission.
Me too. It was pretty much surprising. Because according to the news, you're right, they were only given the rights to sell the songs at their dirt cheap rates, of course. You know that, right? It's a subscription-based method.
6 cents a song.
Very cheap. Now, obviously, since these artists are now selling tons of music worldwide, they sort of want to align that with how digital music is sold overseas, like iTunes, like for $1 each.
Mm.
Yeah. Dee, I know you told me that Soribada has stopped their English subscription service for now.
They haven't stopped it. They've stopped you allowing you to subscribe with PayPal. I guess they've been having problems with PayPal, so they said you can only subscribe with a credit or debit card.
Okay, fair enough.
And I used that as an excuse to let my subscription go by the wayside, because I wasn't really using it. Because there were so many songs that they didn't have the rights to distribute.
That's
especially
right.
JYP songs in particular. And a few of the smaller companies that had really good songs, they didn't have the rights to promote them. So I was just like, you know what? Never mind.
Yeah, but you know what? I saw a sign a few days ago that says they will be moving to a per-song distribution platform soon.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That is interesting, but it depends on what price they're going to sell the songs
at. There you go. We'll see about that. I'll check the site later.
Because I'm definitely not a fan. I understand that if the song is good, the artist deserves to make money, but I'm not a fan of the 99 cents based per-song number. I'm definitely not a fan of $1.29 a song. Like, fuck everything about that.
Yeah.
Because at the rate, if you assume the artist is selling 16 songs, if you buy a full album, really.
Just buy the physical album.
It's $20. So
you're
better
off
going to a store and getting the album for $18 or $19, whatever the price is.
And you can touch it. You can touch a CD and you have artwork. You have the
liner notes. It's primarily American songs, major label artists. It's for $1.29 a song. If you look at some of the lesser known artists, there are some available for 99 cents. So, but I guess like companies like YG that have been selling their songs on iTunes have gotten a taste of what it's like to get, you know, what's closer to a per value rate for their songs.
Which is
so
fair.
Of course they would be greedy for something similar, 99 cents a song. They get more of a cut. Is with Mnet, 6 cents a song, I'm sure you're going to get a fraction of a penny on each song.
You won't get anything, basically. That's how I see it. Because the artist gets paid less. The singers, I mean. They get paid less. Not unless they wrote the song, produced the song, or composed something in the song. I don't know. But then they get more money. So, I don't know what's going to happen. But if you want to buy something from Soribada, I guess you can just buy the gift cards and use the Korean site. But that's a challenge for a lot of people, including me. It's quite hard to do.
I think I would rather, you know, get the physical copy, but it's just so much hassle. And, like, the amount of albums I would want to buy, like, the price quickly balloons to this absurd rate. Like, even though K-pop albums are quite cheap compared to, you know, their contemporaries, definitely a lot cheaper than Japanese albums.
Definitely.
A few dollars cheaper than American albums. So you could kind of sort of understand, hey, let me buy a couple. But then you can't stop at just a couple. Like, there's so many people you want to support, which is like the main problem. There are so many groups. There's so many that make interesting music, if not good music. So, and then there's the added dimension of, you know, so many interesting personalities, and you want to support, you know, keeping them in the public eye. Mm-hmm. And then there are people that are underrated, so you want to buy the album because you know they're not going to make that much money that year, and so on and so forth. So you end up quickly going from, oh, well, let me drop $50 on a couple albums, and you realize $50 only buys you, like, 3.5 albums. So it's like, all right, fine, let me put it up to 100, and now you have, like, 6 or 7 albums. But there's still so much more on your list, and you have to kind of control yourself. Otherwise, you will end up very broke. Very
you have to list your priorities. Like, you have to get your priorities straight when you go buy a physical album. Because that's what I do. It's always DBSK, JYJ, and then Big Bang. For me, anyway.
Yeah, but it's more like you could kind of walk out of your house and go to a record store and pick up some stuff. I can't do that.
Yeah.
So it's even worse is that I don't have to pay for shipping once it's over $50, but it's the waiting that kills you.
But of course, I sometimes want the goodies, so, you know, they have special releases, special versions, first presses. The Japanese albums are a killer. Oh my god. So expensive. You really have to save up if you want to support a lot of artists.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, if you're a true fan, you know how that works. It won't really matter to you. You're supporting your idol, so. Okay. We move on to debuts, comebacks, and new releases. And hey, UKISS fan.
Hey, what's up? Hello yourself, UKISS fan.
Oh, excuse me? I'm not a fan yet.
Uh-huh. You will be.
Maybe.
It's only a matter of time.
Okay, let me just set things straight here. Before this album, I wasn't really a big fan of UKISS, okay? Now, when I first heard the song that they released last week, what's that, remember?
Someday.
Oh, sorry, it's a different song. Someday, when they first released Someday, it was like a whole new world opened up for me. And I'm like, oh my god, UKISS is quite good. So when their album dropped, I grabbed it, listened to it, and I think I've played the album nonstop 5 times now. It's that good. Trust me. It's very cohesive. So I'm not a fan yet, but I'm beginning to appreciate the group more because the album sounds a lot better and is really cohesive, more cohesive than their previous releases. So props to whoever the producer is. Who is the producer?
Producers. I have no idea because the producers that we're used to, which is primarily Brave Brothers and Morendi, mm-hmm. I guess is his name, they both have a particular tagline that they say in the songs, so you know it's theirs. But that really has not been present, so I have no idea. They could be anybody. Whoever they are, the songs they chose have worked out really well.
Yep.
And, of course, I've been a UKISS fan since debut, so it is interesting seeing people, you know, fully appreciate their abilities in this album. And considering the kind of, not necessarily scandal, but the upheaval the group has gone through recently with the loss of 2 members, the addition of 2 new members. I will admit, though, even though I don't remember the name of the song, that my favorite song on the album is the one with Paran, even though it takes forever to get started.
They talk too much. I'm like, is this
it's like
a joke?
4 minutes of talking. Yeah. I don't understand Korean. I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about. And then the song actually starts, and it's a beautiful song.
It's a ballad.
I know, but it's still pretty. When Paran was active, I never really listened to them. I knew who Ryan was. I knew AJ. And I knew the names of the other members. I don't know them now, obviously. But I never really paid attention to what they sang or how well they sang. I knew they were a ballad group, more or less. But they quickly faded into obscurity.
Yeah.
So I kind of was not prepared for how they would sound on this album.
It was surprising to see their name there, wasn't it? Like, Paran?
I mean, after
same company anyway, but I was surprised.
Yeah, after realizing that they weren't in the same company and they always had been, and like obviously AJ came into UKIS, so I was, you know, sort of wondering like how Piran is going to continue with one of their members in a different group, but okay,
you're doing fine. Yeah. Okay, now rumors, maybe Dalmatian is coming back in October, next month, of course without Derry because he's in the army.
Yeah, he surprised, got conscripted into the army, and it seemed like he, obviously he's not popular enough to be able to delay entering the army until he's almost 30. I think he's 26, 27.
Mm-hmm.
Poor guy.
The news came from a post in the group's fan cafe by one of the members. Not much info on this yet, but of course we'll keep you updated as soon as we have something official. I don't have a lot to say about this because there's really no news at all, but they just mentioned that they will be back.
Yeah, it's pretty much just speculation as to what they'll do, what kind of songs they have, what kind of sound they'll have, really missing one of the, I guess you'd call it one of the core members of the group. Mm-hmm. I don't doubt the talent of the remaining members, but it is going to be weird for some people,
yeah,
not having it.
It's going to be a bit different. It's strange. Oh! Okay, I'm going to move on to the next news because this will make me very happy, as you know. This is about JYJ. Yeah. They will finally release the teaser for their In Heaven MV on September 5th, midnight. This is the MV where Song Jiyo will make an appearance.
So. I had no idea they were having one. I don't even know what song In Heaven is.
They performed it in their concert. They performed a lot of new songs in their recent tour, and yeah, they have two MVs lined up. First is of course In Heaven, and the other song is Get Out. I haven't really heard the song clearly because all you get are fan cams are shitty, but there are some very good quality fan cams out there. So the group is really gonna make a comeback, but you know, trust me, you won't see them anywhere on Korean TV. So JYJ fans will finally get to hear clear versions of the songs, which means that a new album will be out soon, which also means that fans will be spending tons of money soon. It's so hard to be a fan. And let me tell you now, they will have the special edition again where it will cost a lot of money. I don't know what they're going to put in that album to make it special.
They put a book in the last one. So.
Yeah, I bought it.
Of course he did.
Yeah, and you got me their first album, and I love you for it. So, yeah.
I did? Oh, okay.
Yeah, you did. With the shirt.
I'm sorry for encouraging you.
No, I love you for encouraging me. You're an enabler.
Yeah, I wish I wasn't.
Okay. So, September 5, midnight, okay? Watch out for that, JYJ fans. Now, what do I have here? Next. This is about M Street. M Street is actually a vocal group who debuted back in, I think it was 2004. They're back after a 3-year hiatus. And if you guys remember, the group's leader, is that him? Yeah, the group's leader killed himself back in 2008, if I'm not mistaken. So
I can understand why they were on a 3-year hiatus. That's completely justifiable.
Yep. That explains their absence. Anyway, their comeback is called Losing the Necktie. The single, MV, and performances are all out. So, welcome back. Glad to have them back. And the song is quite good. Really good. It's a ballad, of course.
Yeah. There's nothing else it would be, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what's next here? Bella. So, I'm sure you guys remember Bella, right? They're the trio of girls who can sing. And they debuted with the En Vogue cover, Don't Let Go, a few months ago. Well, they're back with a new song. And the MV in the song is called Get Down. It's electronic, good for clubbing, very strong vocals, mind you. And it sounds raw, you know, electronic, but their voices are really, really loud. Is that how they showcase the singer's voices now?
I guess so.
Yeah.
Making it overwhelming so you can't help but notice it.
Yeah, well, they sing very well, of course. You know, they have the vocal chops. So, Yeah, I listened to it once, and then I listened to it again earlier. It's good. In the club, yeah. But, you know, if I want something to dance to, I'd want something more synthesized. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. Because it's
Maybe it is.
raw. Yeah, maybe it's just me. All right. Okay. Let's just move on. And this, yeah, this will make you
You
very happy, D. Okay, this is a.
sound like you ran out of things to say.
Yeah, because. Okay, I don't really like the song that much.
Whispering like they're not gonna know you said it. So Bobby Kim has spoken, and I didn't know this because I was not, I don't know, keeping up with news, but Bobby Kim has spoken about the fact that he will be back in the fall with, of all people, Booga Kings. And I think they have not released an album together since 2008, I want to say, if not 2007. So this
2008,
is,
I think.
and even considering how long they've been in the industry, which is I think since 2000, they have only released three albums as a group. So I'm looking forward to more of their stuff, even though I know, you know, despite the fact that he's in a rap group, that he won't rap, I'll be very sad that he doesn't. But I'm looking forward to hearing Juvie Train, Gandhi, and Bobby Kim all together on the same
This
album.
will be great. You know what? We featured them a while back, so.
We featured Bobby Kim.
Yeah,
Yeah,
but
we didn't feature
that was
before.
just your excuse to talk about Bugga Kings.
Booga Kings,
I remember
yes.
that. So, I think we're back on our streak of featuring artists, and then they come back. I
Yeah,
hope
it's
so.
working. Like, who else do you want to come back? I think you should write in and tell us, and we'll talk about them, and I'm sure they'll show up.
I think we have psychic abilities, Dee. That's really scary. We don't have a date for this comeback yet.
No
Nope.
specific date.
Nope. Oh, but Bobby Kim's concert series is titled I Am Booga King's Bobby Kim. And it will start on October 1st in Seoul. And then it will move on to tour the country, Daegu and Ulsan. So I don't have enough details on that. But as always, more details to follow when we get more information. So I'm assuming that he's going to be touring with a group.
Maybe. I don't know if it's going to be with the group specifically, but it should be interesting.
Because the title has their names on it, so I hope so. All right, now, debuts. April Kiss, they've debuted with their single Wannabe, and the title track is Bus Stop. So the MV is out, the single is out, and their debut performance is out. What do you think? Do they live up to the hype?
First of all, I didn't think there was that much hype. They said they were gonna be the
Yeah.
female,
That's
2 p.m.,
it.
and then everyone said, "Okay, that's unlikely." And I don't see it. But they haven't had much time,
Yeah.
you know.
They're new rookies.
This is one single, the 2 p.m. debut single turned out to be nothing like what the group ended up being. So
Yeah.
give them time. Don't just, and it's unfortunate because their debut performance, which is what I just watched on Mnet, it pretty much has more than half dislikes rather than likes.
Yes,
So
it's sad.
you know that's just butthurt 2 p.m. fans who believe that nothing can be compared to their group. And I think it's unfortunate that the K-pop fandom behaves that way, that this belief that, you know, you can't compare and contrast, which is, from the very beginning, I've always found it absurd, because, you know, we're human beings, this is what we do. We figure out what's good by comparing it to a standard. There's no reason why we can't compare a bunch of groups in the same genre just because certain groups are more vocally talented than others. Hey, it's not like they make different kinds of music. They
It's
basically pretty much
pop
all
music.
make pop music.
Yeah. Well,
I could
honestly.
see if we were comparing a rock band to a pop group, sure, you could slap me. But at this point, we're talking about, and very few groups are ballad groups anymore. So it's not like we're comparing oranges to apples, you know, comparing apples to apples. If they say they want to be like female 2PM, good for them. They want to be like female 2PM. They didn't say we are female 2PM.
That's a different thing. Okay, the moment they say that, it's going to be really bad for them. But, you know, honestly, I watched the performance the first time and I wasn't really that impressed. Although one of them can really sing. I don't know who she is. They really need something to set them apart from all these girl groups debuting. I don't know what they can do to set them apart.
Had the song been like more dance intensive, I think it would have set them apart to a certain degree. And hold on, I can't think, because I looked at the article and the picture of Sunny and she has camel toe in that picture, and it's just like,
what?
That just fucked with my brain. What was I talking about? Yeah, April Kiss, had they had, I guess, B-girl style performances or acrobatic dance.
Yeah, that's
or
just something when they debuted acrobatics.
A dance that actually looked difficult, because I was watching the video and I completely zoned out. You're not going to hear what I was talking about during the video playing. But it was the 35th Super Sentai series. Like, that's how zoned out I was of what they were doing. I'm sorry. I was just thinking about, oh, today is Friday, tomorrow is Saturday. Now Superhero Time airs on Saturday. I'm excited about the next episode because there's a new Kamen Rider season starting tomorrow. And it's just, you know, my mind is nowhere near April Kiss. And that's unfortunate, but there have been so many girl groups that debuted this year. Like, you have to be really good to stand out, and it doesn't help that the girl groups that debuted last year that were kind of obscure have now come into relevancy this year, so it makes it even worse. The market is so much more congested. Then you have things like big groups coming back, like Super Junior coming back.
Yes.
And now UKISS has released a really good album, and they're going to start performing, I guess, next week. So there's so many things on the scene. I don't even know how they're going to buy time on every music show. I guess they're hoping that most of the people go away.
They would go away, definitely. October?
Prior to the big girl groups coming next month. So if they can continue to be able to perform on shows for a month, maybe people will see them. Mm-hmm. But like we've mentioned before, it's typically a 3-week promotion cycle. Only the smaller companies have really pushed, because you see groups from small companies around for 2 months. Maybe they're not on every program for that full 2 months, but you notice their goodbye stage is like, it's like, how long have you been here? Like, really? This is the last time you're performing this song? I had no idea that you hadn't switched to another single. And that just brings me back to a couple years ago when people would be complaining that they actually used to complain about the four major shows a week, because you're performing the same song every day and then you're continuing to perform it for several months.
Yeah.
Because I had videos of, for example, Irony, the Wonder Girls debut.
Wait, didn't your hard drive die?
Not that one. Okay. Thankfully, not the K-pop one. Okay. The other one. If my K-pop hard drive die, I think it would cry.
Oh my god.
With the hard drive that died, the only major loss was all of my episodes of We Got Married, which was like almost 100 gigs of all that stuff. And that made me sad.
That's really sad.
Once I realized what all was missing, all the other shows, I was just like, yeah, I can re-download them as long as I remember what they were. But with this, it's so much harder to find all the episodes that I had. So at some point, I'm going to get back up the courage to go and look for everything again. But I had videos of Irony, I think, from January when they debuted. Mm-hmm. Straight up to March, if not April. So they were performing the song for, you know, well over 2 months. And we never really get that anymore with the big companies. And I think it's partially because, you know, this is what you do to build your popularity. And once you have your fan base, you know, there's no real reason to continue to perform the song.
That's right. That's exactly it. And of course, there are a lot of new singers and groups right now. So you have to find the time for them to perform in these shows. So you don't really get the big groups performing for 3 months straight now. It's just 3 weeks. Yeah. I don't know. What do you like better? The 3-week cycle or the 3-month cycle?
I think I would like the 3-month cycle better, but like if between the four channels, if they manage to find some sort of balance where instead of, hey, we're all gonna play the same 10 to 12 groups or 10 to 12 artists, if they decided, okay, there's 45 acts that are currently promoting, why don't we, you know, put them together, randomize it, raffle them up, whatever, to determine, you know, who appears on our shows this week. I think that would be an interesting way of doing it, ensuring that every group performs at least once per week.
I think it's a nightmare to be a PD for one of these music shows.
Well, it helps that you know, the companies pay for the groups to appear. So it's not as though, you know, they have to go out really and schedule. There are gonna be people calling them to say, hey, my artist is promoting in this time period. You know, what do you got? How much do I have to pay? How much the stage is gonna
That's
cost? Because really,
illegal.
it's that's what they do, though. You know that,
No, but
right?
it's illegal, but yeah, okay, fine.
It's illegal where you live, but obviously it's not illegal there. They pay just like how you would pay sometimes to have your music on the radio. It's the same sort of
Viola,
principle.
didn't they get called
So
out for
that,
that?
yeah, but it hasn't changed anything. They talked about how the companies pay for the groups to appear, so you don't make money for appearing on music programs. And because there are so many artists vying to appear, they get to make the station itself gets to make deals with the company, saying, okay, well, in order for you guys to appear on our music program this week, we need one of your popular members to appear on this variety show
Oh,
program
that's it.
that hasn't been doing that well. And that's really what they how they control really who appears. Yeah, it's scummy and everything, but you know, we've known K-pop has been scummy for a long
But we're
time.
still
It,
here.
it's
We're
something
used to it.
It's something that unfortunately you get used to, or you pretend, you know, doesn't happen. Like the moment when you kind of lose your innocence in terms of how the industry works is really, you know, disheartening. But once you get over that, you
You'll
know,
be fine.
nothing could stop you.
Yeah. You know, it's even worse for me because I have a fairly good idea of how business works. And, you know, I am proud to say that I am a person of principle, but when it comes to K-pop, all goes down the drain. I know. That's how I am. Because for me, it's entertainment anyway. I'm here to be entertained. I don't want to think about
Yeah,
whatever happens behind the scenes.
and just to compare, you know, with the American industry, you very rarely think about what's actually going on. Like, occasionally singers come out, especially the ones that debuted when they were teenagers or young children. They come out and they say, you know, I was molested or I was doing drugs when I was 12, and things like that. You're like, shit, you know, all this stuff was going on, and you know, we had no idea.
Yeah.
And I think for the most part, like, the audience, even though they may claim otherwise, they really prefer to be ignorant of what goes on behind the scenes, because they like to keep that picture in their mind of, you know, the happy family. And a lot of music labels in Korea like to portray this image of a family, which I found really weird, because you know, you're not even close, you're coworkers.
YG
You may
family.
spend It's, I'm not calling them out in particular, because every big company does it.
Yeah.
You're the father of the group is somebody's boss, and like, you're deciding things that no father would decide for his daughter. Like, hey, let's tart you up this week. Let's have you pose in a magazine where they have you know, sitting suggestively on a pole.
Hey,
You know, these are things
aha,
that
who's
you
that?
like that people's fathers don't decide for them. You'd think that they would be, in fact, vehemently opposed to something like this. Deciding, hey, you know what's gonna happen for your concept? Like, everyone else in your group is gonna be cutesy, but you, oh, we're gonna put you in the sexy role. And it's just, you're essentially pimping, and not just the girls, you're pimping all of your artists out, male and female. So I don't see that as a fatherly role at all. Maybe behind the scenes, you guys have a good relationship. You treat your artists well, but
But you know what? this is what makes K-pop different. It's because of their culture. What's that word? Patriarchal society? Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's how business is run there. It's crazy for us who grew up in the Western world. It's a different concept. And I think if I were to work in a society like that, I'd go nuts.
I would get fired from every job. I don't speak up much in terms of work because it doesn't affect me as much as it seems to affect other people. And there seems to be so much that they can't take, and they willingly get into conflicts and stuff like that. That's not in my personality. But I think at some point, I would have, if I was an artist, I wouldn't think, oh my God, I've worked 5 years, 6 years to get to this point. You know, I could put up with anything as long as I remain in this position. I would not think that. I would be like, yeah, this is good money, but realistically, I can make better money if I concentrate on going to college, I get a degree, and I get a job that way. I just not put up with that shit. And it especially helped if I had dual citizenship or residency elsewhere. I'd just be like, you know, peace out, bitches, and leave.
You know what? That's so like me. But yeah, I did it the other way around. Anyway, you see, that's the thing with these companies. You know, they just do what they want to do. And you don't have a say, D. You don't really have much of a say there. You just follow. You don't have a choice.
Unless you're a major, major artist. And even some of them still do, you know, whatever the company tells them to. And honestly, I will not ever forget this in my entire life. I think it's when they were doing the press conference for Boa's American debut, I think. Mm-hmm. She showed up with her arm in a sling.
Oh.
And they said that she fell down the stairs. And I just was like,
you're right.
Really? This is what we're going with. Like, the classic cover-up for domestic abuse. She fell down the stairs. Now, seriously, she may have fell down the stairs. That is possible. It happens to people. Not often. But just the fact that this company in particular was talked about in terms of being physically abusive
years ago,
towards the artist.
Okay? This was years ago.
So I just thought, you know, this kid has been, since she was 13, I think. She was a debut artist.
Yeah, 13.
I'm just like, she could have easily been through years of abuse. And you just have to wonder, like, what their personalities end up being like. Like, years of verbal, physical, emotional abuse. And just, now you're unleashed into the world as an adult. I don't understand how you become a functional human being. And I'm sure they're not. Like, if you took them away from, like, being famous, if they no longer had all the people around them,
they
no longer were micromanaged.
They wouldn't know what to do with their lives.
I think a lot of them would have ended up, you know, committing suicide if, like, everything was suddenly taken away from them.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be able to live.
Now that we're on the topic of Boa, if you see her now, it's like, I can't believe she's only, what, 23? 24?
24.
She looks...
She's the same age as Dongbang Shinki.
She looks a lot older than 24. It's like she's so tired of the world, jaded.
I think she's been through so much.
She's
when you consider all the pressure that's been on her. And I don't particularly like Boa as an artist. It's not her fault. I just don't like the music. But I'm serious. But I can respect, you know, her work ethic and how much she's put into becoming who she is. But just, you know, you start out in such a difficult job from age 13, and it's been 11 years. Yeah. I would, or 12, actually, because she should be 25 at some point this year. I would be burnt out. I would have been burnt out a long time ago. I think most people would have been burnt out, because you look at what happens to, again, the only frame of reference is American child stars, who have started out at a similar age group. I think someone who's very close to her age, and I have to look it up to confirm, is...
I knew you were going to say that.
We all know.
Yeah,
she's born in 1986 as well. We all know what's happened to her. And it's not just to her. There have been
a lot.
80s child celebrities, 70s child celebrities. There have been ones that have died young. There have been ones that, you know, completely disappear from acting or singing, whatever it is. And I think what happens to a lot of these people is that they need time to understand what it's like to be normal. Yeah. Or to at least understand, you know, what it's like to be an adult. Because you get this gap where you're a child going into it, and then all of a sudden everyone's treating you like an adult, and there's too much freedom and all this other stuff. And the only people that come out okay are the ones that have had their parents involved.
Exactly. They have their family involved. But
sometimes they're because Lindsay Lohan has had her family involved. I think that's the terrible part. Like, she just has a horrible family. But I just wonder a lot about these celebrities and how well adjusted they're going to be, especially when you look at the current crop, where it's becoming commonplace for, instead of you debuting, you know, closer to 18 years old, it's now becoming common for 14, 13, yep, things like that. So you're skipping over the entire part of puberty.
Yeah, growing up.
Like, and what makes it worse is that puberty is so hard to deal with as a normal teenager.
It's like you fast forwarded your life and that you didn't know what happened during that time. All you can remember is, you know, I was working, I was in Japan, I was training, I was studying. Where are my friends? You know, where are they?
Yeah, I think that's going to be the tragic part, because even though not everyone keeps in touch with the people that they met in high school is such a huge part of your life, regardless of whether it was a good or bad experience. And then, you know, college is an additional buffer, I guess, between high school and the real world. And a lot of your really good friends are made in college. And these are the people that really are going to define, you know, how you go through life, how you make new friends, how you act on the job, things like that. And you're taking all that away from people. They jump straight from essentially elementary school, more or less, into working full time.
So you skipped high school and college altogether, and, you know, suddenly you're an adult. And, you know, one thing, though, now that you've mentioned it, like comparing Bowa to Lindsay Lohan, comparing how it is for, you know, the Western culture and Korean culture, it seems that their child stars, or, you know, their very young artists, when they grow up, they seem more well-adjusted than their American counterparts.
But I think a part of that is due to Korean culture.
Yep,
like
the culture.
In American culture, you've grown up as a celebrity, you're used to living your life in the public. And at some point you realize, yeah, people are going to talk about you, but they don't know you, so it doesn't make a difference.
Yep.
And people just live their life however they want to live it. They get used to paparazzi being outside every time they leave someplace. Like, some people, they start, you know, they come outside, they show off, they do whatever just to get in the news. And a lot of being famous is having your name in tabloids. But in the Korean culture, which is more reserved, even if that person is a complete drug addict and party animal, you're not going to hear about that. Like, they're still going to live their life like it's completely normal in the public eye. And of course, their companies are going to cover up for them and things like that. So you'd never really know they weren't well adjusted, because
you never get to hear about it.
Or having a psychiatric condition isn't something that we discuss in polite society. So you're never really going to know that this person may have mental problems. Whereas with a lot of American celebrities, if the person has mental problems, like, the whole world knows. The difference is that the similarity there is neither one of them is getting help.
Exactly.
You know, you see someone's dirty laundry publicly aired, whereas the other person is keeping it to themselves. And it also helps that watching someone self-destruct in the West seems kind of like a spectator sport. People are, and it's really morbid, but it's something that, you know, it happens, and we're all kind of amused by it, which is a celebrity death pool. I've seen it on different websites where they list the people that they think are going to die this year. And Lindsay Lohan's probably been on the list for like 6 years. I think the same with Britney Spears. Like, these are people you expect, you know, to go out in a pool of cocaine or something like that. But you know, when you think about how young they actually are, is when it gets, you know, disturbing. Like, Lindsay Lohan is 25 years old, and she looks like she's 35. Yes.
That's the and sad part. She's seen a lot of life. I mean, for someone her age. No.
And I think it's the same way with BoA. Yep. Just to get back to K-pop. I mean, obviously, there's the lack of cocaine and the sex with random people, I hope. But
we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, okay?
We have no idea. But if you admire someone for, you know, working so hard, but if she took 3 or 4 years off, I think that would be ideal for her.
Yeah. She's just so tired, I think. You know, if you look at her now, I feel sorry for her. She just celebrated her 11th anniversary. 11th, okay. And how old are you again, BoA?
25. Yeah.
Wow. She has a very, I don't know, long career. If that's what you consider long in K-pop, I would say yes.
Yeah, that is honestly good enough to retire from.
Yeah. You know what? She should just retire now. You know, cut her losses. Just take a break. Go somewhere. Study. Travel. Meet new people. Live her life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, enjoy her life. I'm sure she has a lot of money now because, hey, she's an SM stockholder.
Yeah.
She can afford to do that.
She should be able to take a break. Yeah. SM probably can't afford for her to take a break, but...
That's a different story. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ooh, we still have a couple of...
We're not talking about April Kiss at all.
Yeah, anyway, let's move on from April Kiss because we still have a couple of... groups here. There is, wait, let's see, a new ballad group out, and they're called Slim. What's the long name, D? I want you to read it.
Sunlight in the Morning.
Nice.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, we all would enjoy having sunlight in the morning.
Anyway, they're from a company called Solens Entertainment. I don't know who this group is or who this company is. But they are a ballad group, and they released their single, She's Really My Girl. The MD has been released, so go check them out. They are good. They're pretty good. And I don't think we've had any real ballad groups since Four Men, if I'm not mistaken.
Real ballad groups? Or do you mean successful ballad groups?
Yeah, successful ballad groups. Vocal ballad groups.
Yeah.
It's Four Men.
New ones, yeah.
So... they're a bit different from the usual mushrooms that sprout in the land of K-pop. So maybe they're worth your time.
There have been ballad groups, though. I forgot the name of the group. It's just unfortunate.
December?
But it has... no, not
they're
December.
They're a duo, right?
Yeah, they've been around for a while, too. I meant the group that has Soulja in it.
Oh.
God, I can't forgot the name of their group.
I know. Me too. Oh, goodness.
The name of their song was One Last Cry?
Don't tell me that's N-Train. That's N-Train.
Yes. Them. It happens. Like, there are people, and there aren't a lot of people that do it, because obviously there's not much money in it. But there have been vocal groups recently. Maybe not as adults, but there have been a lot of idol vocal groups, I guess would be the way to term it. So...
give them a chance. They're good. I think they're good. And I'm looking forward to more releases from them. Because you know how I'm a big fan of ballads, right?
Yes, I've heard that.
Yes. So anyway, new group alert. And this time, it's a group called Ansonic. What does it say here? Well, they're an all-male group, and they hope to become the second DBSK or BEAST.
This is a weird, a weird range in between Talk by Shiki and Beast. There's like 30 groups in the middle there. Okay.
Okay. Any one of these 30 groups will be fine.
I think they want like the popularity of Dongba Shinki with like the musical stylings of Beast, or maybe the musical stylings of Beast
and the
popularity of Beast with the talent of Dongba Shinki. I have no idea which one they mean.
So they've introduced themselves in NBC Everyone's Infinity Girls. Oh, Infinity Girls and ETN's Hotshot.
Infinity Girls.
Yeah. According to their agency, okay, they're talented in a lot of areas. Aha, this is scary. So they will be showing their talents in variety first. okay.
Oh, all right. That's different.
Yeah. Talented in a lot of areas, so they will be showing their talent in variety first. Okay. I'm trying to understand, but okay. Different. Anyway, the group will debut with the track Superman. Unfortunately, I don't have any other details, but as always, we'll keep you updated when we get more info. I love how their management representatives said that they're prepared to... I'm going to laugh now. They're prepared to upgrade the prestige of K-pop.
Sure. Yeah.
Good luck to the boys. I hope they can sing because I've seen their promo photo and I'm not impressed. You know what that means.
Yeah, they can sing. In the words of the... God, I forgot his name. In the words of the immortal Chan, if you see ugly people in K-pop, they can sing.
Thank you.
Count on it.
I hope they can sing because I'm not going to look at them.
No, what's gonna happen is the longer they've been around, they're gonna start getting better haircuts, better clothes, better makeup. So eventually they're gonna start to look attractive to you. That happens with everybody.
To me? Are you sure?
That happens with everybody, as in everyone in K-pop. Mm. Like, if you look at how people looked when they debuted as compared to what they look like now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mentioned to you before we started that I do not appreciate that Kevin is starting to look handsome to me.
Kevin is pretty.
And looks
pretty as a girl.
Part of that is that, yeah, but that's no, it doesn't define how good he looks as a guy. Like, there are people that are very attractive as guys that look completely ugly as girls, and they're the other way, really.
You know what? Okay, fine. I'll agree with you. You know why? I just remembered.
That Jaejoong looks horrible as a girl?
No, he looks pretty as a girl, actually.
No, he doesn't. He looks kind of scary.
But no, this is about
Yuchen.
Remember when I told you that I've been trying to deny the fact that I was in love with Yuchen? I've been trying to deny it for years.
Listen, this is going to make us sound really bad, but I'm not in love with Kevin, okay?
Okay, not in love in that sense, okay? But, you know, fine, whatever. Think whatever you want to think.
That is not what this is about. I think it started with, God, what's the name of that song? Shut Up, I guess. There was one song where half of the group was, like, shirtless.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin was in there in the half that was shirtless. And it's just like, why is Kevin's shirt off? This doesn't, like, Kevin is the one member, and it's unfortunate. But because of the way he's seen on programs, in a manner similar to, like, Jokwon and Brian and things like that, like, you don't expect to see them shirtless all of a sudden. It's like the image that you've built up in your head of this person suddenly doesn't fit with the image they have, and it's like, it's this horrible sort of disconnect where all of a sudden you're bombarded by images and confused and disoriented, and it's just, you want it all to stop. But good for them. The album's good. We mentioned already. That had nothing to do with anything.
I really have to say this now. Before, Yuchen wasn't really that attractive to me. And as time went on, I realized that he was good looking for me anyway. I don't know what he thinks.
It's like way older than he is.
Yeah. But that's how it is. So I agree with you now when I really think about it.
Yeah,
you're right.
People become handsome over, good looking over time. Sometimes they need certain physical alterations, like a certain person who we will not mention because it's unfair to her, who desperately needs a nose job.
Oh, stop it!
Like, I'm not the kind of person who advocates plastic surgery, but her face is thrown off by her nose, and it's mean and unfortunate. That's why I'm not going to say her name. But if you know me, you know who I'm talking about.
That can be anyone.
I'm sure there's a short list you could probably guess. But to move on away from debuts, comebacks, new releases, plastic surgery, the way people look, whatever else we were talking about when April Kiss was around, I'm Super Sentai, to move away from all of that stuff. And it's kind of related because a little bit about K-pop in Japan.
This is what I call the meanwhile in Japan news.
SM Town in Japan's concert is going to be streamed on Facebook, and this is nothing new for them. They streamed SM Town in Paris, and they've been streaming various other things. SM has been really good about reaching out to international fans, and this is really a great thing to do because it's so difficult in Asia anyway to get your hands on tickets for their concerts. I guess in the US, in Europe, it's gonna be easier to some degree. But it's great that they're continuing to do this. I think this is gonna be the thing that builds their fan base more, and that of course is gonna reach out to other people that weren't aware of K-pop.
So I think SM has realized that sharing is caring.
Yeah.
Concert will be in when? September 20th is today. Well, it was last night, tonight, and tomorrow. So it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
And I think YG had done something like this with one of Big Bang's
I
shows.
think so.
So
Yeah.
they're not alone, but they have been doing it more than anybody else.
And it's good, it's good. Because they reach out to a lot of people. So,
Though
yeah.
it is something only a big company can afford to do.
We can only hope to be a big company or join a big company to reach out to fans like that.
Because it's the whole idea that they're filming their concert anyway. They can afford the technology to stream, they might as well do it.
Yep, there you go. So, the usual suspects will be performing. The usual. Except for Su Young. I'd be upset if she
Yeah,
performed.
you're gonna have the significantly smaller Super Junior.
For people who can't make it to the SM Town concert in Tokyo, you know where to find the videos, okay? Legally, on Facebook.
Yeah.
All right. Now, the next piece of news is about CNBLUE, and they will debut with Warner Music Japan. So finally,
What was kind of amusing about this whole situation is that they too had a visa
yep.
problem and they couldn't promote. It's like, how do you not get the proper visa in time? That's what doesn't make sense to
I
me.
know.
And CNBLUE has promoted in Japan before, so like, I think it's where they started too. They debuted in Japan before Korea,
That's
so
right.
how do you not know what visa to get? It's insane.
I really don't know because before they went to Japan this week, they were in Japan prior, like a few weeks before. They were in Mezumashi TV's summer event. So that's really stupid. How can you not fix your visa? Who's supposed to fix their visa? Warner Music? Maybe.
I guess it maybe if they do they change companies in
Yes,
Japan
they
or is
did.
this the same company? That may have something to do with it because I think if you I don't know if it works the same way with a performer visa, but with a work visa, if you change companies, that has to be reflected in your documentation. So maybe that's
Yeah,
it.
because they were
That
indie before and then they signed up with a major label. That's probably it. Or maybe it's a different class of visa. We don't know.
perhaps, but we're not immigration officials. We can't speak to specifically, what's different or where the fuck up may have been. I'm gonna assume it's on the Japanese side because if you've been promoting it in Japan beforehand and you've not had a problem, but you've changed companies and now all of a sudden it's a problem, it has to be reflected on what's new.
Yeah.
So.
So this will screw up their schedule big time. Not just in Japan, but in Korea as well. So I hope they get to fix their problem soon. Ooh, this is good. The next piece of news will make me happy. But it's a bit strange too. So Top will make an appearance in Gummy's Japanese debut MV. Gummy to debut in Japan? Okay.
Yeah, I had no idea this was gonna
I
happen.
know.
I'm kind of apprehensive about it. She obviously is a talented singer, but not really popular. Not the person I expected that the Japanese artist would be clamoring
Yep.
for. I guess that's why Top is going to feature in the MV to try and draw people in. But, you've had Korean artists before, and this was mentioned in an article I was reading this week, who kind of smaller scale artists who went straight for the Japanese market, and you've also had Japanese artists of Korean descent who've become popular over time. And it's really because they've adapted themselves to J-pop, and they're performing music that suits the audience rather than coming straight over with remakes of Korea and stuff. And I hope that's not what she's doing. Top's been in. Ooh, Top has been in other
Yes,
music
with
before,
Dara.
so I hope they're not redoing that video. I hope this
No.
is going to be something
No,
completely
the
new.
way I see it, this is a win-win situation for both of them. So, more exposure for Top, and I hope that Gummy is going to make original music. So it's good because there's more music by Gummy. I'm sure she has an original song because I don't think she has anything recent to remake for the Japanese market anyway.
She was around. She has been active recently. There was that song.
Oh, Love Recipe.
I mean, she. No, I wasn't even going to mention that song. There was a song she had. I think it. God, I don't remember the name of it. I'm such a horrible K-pop commentator. Like, if your song is older than a week, I don't remember the name of it. She released two music videos. Yeah, I had the right idea in my head. Like a Man, which is the video with Jung Ryo Won and Kim Hyun Jung.
Oh yes.
Which,
yes, I remember that.
The music video that I've only watched once.
Hey, that's a cute video.
But it's from last year. So she was active last year, and her other song was There Is No Love.
You know what? I don't think it's gonna fly in Japan, so I'm pretty sure she's gonna make something new.
Real.
Or maybe I'm just hoping.
Maybe you were just being delusional.
Maybe I was, because it's top that we're talking about. You know. So, yeah, I think that's it for the Meanwhile in Japan news. And then, well, we have to take a break first.
And we'll be back with Free Talk. Hopefully Free Talk doesn't take as long as it did last week. And we don't get as off track.
I hope so.
But this is kind of a wide open topic. We'll be discussing Aegyo and how creepy it is.
Creepy. Okay, so we'll be back in a few.
This is another Espress production.
Drops up right. I want nobody, nobody but you, girl. 나 이별이란 게 아직도 많이 서툰 걸. 있지 내가 잘 잘못했어. 이러다 미쳐 내가 너의 머리 샴푸 냄새와 우리가 나누었던 대화 절대 잊지 못해. 난 라디오에 슬픈 노랫말 나오면 모두 내 얘기 같아. 내가 걷는 길마다 너와의 추억이 베이스. 이런데 널 어떻게 잊어. 여태껏 수많은 breakup to makeup 겪었지만 이번엔 못 견뎌. 지울 수 없어 내 phone number. 난 너뿐이야. 여태까지 그래왔고 앞으로도 계속 맨날 술이야. 꿈속에서도 우리 함께한 시간들을 다시 살아갈 뿐이야.
Songs, 뻔한 노래처럼 내 마음이 표현 안 돼. So many love songs, 흔한 노래처럼 내 가슴을 표현 못 해. I can do anything like a love song.
Different tears. 오늘도 술에 실컷 취해 네 생각으로 밤샜어. 아마도 10분 뒤에 해가 떠오르겠지. 그럼 난 태양을 피하기 위해 커튼을 내리고 내 침대 안으로 들어가. 우리 함께한 모든 걸 다 떠올리고 그러다 지쳐 잠들겠지. 너를 대신한 누군가를 내게 소개시켜준다며 애쓰는 내 친구들 걔네 말이 그냥 나는 웃겨. 그냥 아주 많이 웃겨. 네가 떠나간 그날부터 총 맞은 것처럼 가슴이 너무 아파. 이별 노래 가사들이 전부 내 얘기 같아. 맨날 술이야. 꿈속에서도 우리 함께한 시간들을 다시 살아갈 뿐이야.
So many love songs, 뻔한 노래처럼 내 마음이 표현 안 돼. So many love songs, 흔한 노래처럼 내 가슴을 표현 못 해. I can do
of love songs, so tired of tears, but the DJ keeps on playing them songs to my ears. So sick of love songs, so sad and slow, but I don't know why I just can't turn off the radio. So sick of love songs, so tired of tears, but the DJ keeps on playing them songs to my ears. So sick of love songs, so sad and slow, but I don't know why I just can't turn off the radio.
So many love songs, but 한 노래처럼 내 마음이 표현한 채 숨매가 없어 흔한 노래처럼 내 가슴을 표현하지 I can do
Keeps on playing them songs to my ears. So sick of love songs, so sad and so, but I don't know why I just can't turn off the radio. So sick of love songs, so tired of tears, but the DJ keeps on playing them songs to my ears. So sick of love songs.
Now we're back, you guys, and this week's free talk is. Ekyo. Okay. Oh, man. What the hell is Ekyo? This is tough.
Yeah, this is a difficult topic because Ekyo is kind of what brings people into K-pop in the first place. Like, the idea of... This is kind of something we mentioned earlier on. The perceived innocence of the artist, of the music, of... It seems very kind of honest and straightforward and really... Aegyo is one of the darkest things of the industry, especially when it comes to women doing it. When men do it, it's still kind of weird, but you kind of understand that it's part of the culture and it's something you don't see often as a Western person. So you, it's something that you equate as adorable and of course cute. And they're, I think what started to make it weird for me is I don't think I noticed it before because I watched, in terms of variety programs, I mentioned I watched X-Men, Love Letter, the kind of shows that were about around before the second rise of idols. So it really became strange for me when I was watching We Got Married and several of the husbands were asking, you know, for the wives to show their aegyo, and I'm like, these are all grown women, you know? Why do you desire for them to be cute? I think that I thought that was really strange because if not in their 20s, some were mid-late 20s, a few women in the show have been over 30. And it's like, why do you feel this need to take someone who's obviously a immature adult and... bring them down to the level of immature child. I think that's like the main thing we want for our relationships in the West is for people to not act like immature, or, you know, man children. And that's yet you're encouraging
probably
this.
Probably why they think it's special and cute, because for most of us who come from a Western background, we really, you know, would wonder what the word means. So, you know, Dee is right. It's acting cute, and most of the time, it's shown in really annoying, cute, and childish gestures and mannerism. And even, you know, speech, right? But,
yes,
you know,
especially speech.
Yeah, it's a distinctly Korean concept and one that's hard to define with words. But you can easily tell from actions, okay? Now, for me, when, you know, someone says Aegyo, the first person that comes to mind is Sunny from Girls' Generation.
Isn't she the one that does the baby talk voice?
Yes.
Is that someone else?
That's her.
Right.
That's her. And that's the speech thing. Oh, gosh, Sunny. I remember spending a few hours, this was last year, I think, watching clips of her doing nothing but Aegyo and Michu. Jesus. She's really cute. Really, really cute.
It's like, the cutesy thing, I think, the reason why girls like it is it evokes this sort of maternal attachment to the person doing it, because you immediately see them as a child, and as a girl, for the most part, you know, that's cute, and you feel like you want to protect the person. I think, which is the relationship especially older females have for the most part, because the relationship between an older woman and a younger man, especially in Korean society, hasn't been sexualized that much, I guess. It's not the common way things are. So women see AU as, you know, something cute that makes the person like a child or like a son or daughter. So, and you see a lot of females, when they're defending someone, they speak about the person as though they're a younger sibling or as though they're a child, regardless of their attraction to the person, because that's also there. But it's something that we deny, and it seems like it's even more that way for guys.
Yep. You know, although Eggyo is cute, but if you do too much of it, it becomes really annoying. But if you do it right, you can get anyone to do anything for you. Like, literally, how can you say no to someone doing this cute classic Eggyo pose, like the angel, like Jun's angel pose, batting like their eyelashes and asking, "Can you buy that, please, Appa?" Something like that.
The way to think of it is like someone doing puppy dog eyes, or like, or when you think about like a young child that realizes how cute they are, which is like one of the most terrifying things in the world. They realize that they can get anything they want if they turn on the cuteness, and that's really what the concept is, but with adults.
Yeah. You know, this is the creepy thing. Sometimes, though, you can't help but get a sexual image in your mind when you see girls acting cute and going all appa, appa, appa with, you know, their eggy moves. And, geez, mind you, they're not kids, okay? These are grown-up girls doing it. It's all a bit disconcerting, and sometimes it's bordering on creep and pedophilia, seriously, because grown
one
men
thing that,
fall for these charms.
One thing that we should comment on is the word oppa in itself. It's really something that means older brother, in the same way that Oni-chan means older brother in Japanese. And the thing is, it's also slang for boyfriend.
Yep.
So you have a term that's simultaneously boyfriend and older brother, which already kind of belies the inherent creepiness. And it's just the, like Noelle mentioned, these are primarily older men. Like, it's especially disturbing when you see it on variety shows that frequently have cast guys in their 30s and 40s. And then you have these early 20s girls, really, compared to them, come on the show, and then they're going ahead and doing all these things that are driving these guys crazy, and you're seeing this like openly done on TV. It does not seem right.
Yeah, and look, okay, they don't just go and say "oppa" like that. They have to have this really whiny voice. "Oppa."
It kind of sounds like a begging type voice.
It does. It sounds very sexual in a way. Sometimes it does, right?
But to get into what inspired me, a few weeks back I read a translated article on the grand narrative about pretty much the rise of this whole phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
And the author, Kangin Kyu, was talking about how they use the Aegyo, which is, it's only really designed for this older man group to attract them to the artist himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he tries to explain where the idea came from, and it's related to the whole Japanese concept of cuteness.
Mm-hmm.
And he blames it for why they haven't reached the level of gender equality, despite, you know, pretty much being a developed nation.
That's right.
And the idea of, and it's very hard for me as a K-pop fan and trying to distance myself from being, you know, all out feminist, but like there are things that are really seem, you know, ugly, which is that it makes women seem
submissive,
frail, weak, dependent. And a couple weeks back, I retweeted a tweet from a Korean hip hop artist that I really like, and like I could not respond to this comment because like it was gonna make me incredibly angry. He pretty much said that Korean women are the best in the world because he said a lot of other things like good looking, can cook or whatever.
That's
and he
fine.
Also said they're submissive.
That's
without
bullshit.
It being weird. And I was just like, I understand that I don't live in Korea, right? And maybe I don't know what I'm talking about, but the submissiveness that I've seen has pretty much been 100% out and out, completely submissive in a creepy way.
Yes.
And the idea of the ego is to keep the woman beneath the man.
That's right. Begging, basically begging, whining for something. But then, you know, if the guy says no, tough luck, can't do anything about it. It's still Opa, okay? Opa's way still goes.
And like I mentioned when we were off air, the thing that says 21 apart from me is that they do not do that. They don't sing to that bullshit in public anyway. I don't know what they do behind the scenes. They're probably just as Korean as everyone else.
I don't want to know.
Like, it would completely ruin their image if they were just like everyone else when it comes to doing egyo. And because they don't appear on variety as much means that you don't see that. I'm sure that if they appeared on variety programs, they would be asked to do egyo as well.
Yeah, it's a prerequisite.
I'm sure just like everyone else, they would protest, say they're not very good at it, and then do it, and it's completely, you know.
Do it anyway.
Obviously, you've been doing it for years.
It's a cultural thing, really. But you know what? The creepy part is when, I remember we talked about this before. This is a creepy part for me. When they're hiding the sexiness in the egyo, I'd rather have someone blatantly sexy like Rania and not like Girls' Generation or whatever cutesy group you have out there. Ooh, like, you know, they have very short outfits and they do sexy dance moves and they wink at you and they all have these old man fans.
A part of why non-Korean fans defend the egyo so much and prefer the cutesy groups is because I think a lot of them don't understand the sinister nature behind it.
Yes.
Which is, this is a very repressed society sexually. We don't discuss sex education. We don't do the things that slightly more open society, as bad as America is about sexuality on TV and movies, stuff like that. And Europe, of course, is more open than America is.
Yeah.
But as much as we don't like to do it in Western society, we obviously may not necessarily talk about sex, but we put ourselves in situations where the conversation will come up.
Mm-hmm.
Our TV programs have depict sex acts, or people talk about it. You don't have that as much in Korea, if at all.
No.
And there have been recently certain programs that have been, you know, pushing the limit of what society is comfortable with talking about. And that is great that they're starting slowly, very, very slowly, to move towards it. But it's just because of the repression, because of the fact that it's a patriarchal society, the men get the final say. And the concept of egyo really appeals to that, where it's always going to make men feel like, in a time when women are becoming, you know, more and more independent, and there are a lot more women that are realizing that in order to accomplish things in life, I don't need to be in a relationship with a guy, or I don't need to be married, or like, they're becoming, and Japan has seen this this problem, where more women are going to college, are getting full-time jobs or being interested in their career and realizing that I need to get married and have children as a goal, or I need to become a housewife. There are more women that are deciding, I get married, but I'm keeping my job.
That's
I'm
right.
not going to suddenly become a housewife just because I got married. And in Korea, you still have that mentality. You get married, you quit your job, you become a full-time mother. And
no
I think,
way, man. Can you handle that?
I think, God, no. I would go nuts. I can't. Especially since I grew up in a house where both my parents were working. And I think what's going to happen is, unless the guy is a multimillionaire, in this world, both parents need to be working in order to fully provide for their children. Just the basics, you need to have both people working. So society, really, whether Korea wants it to or not, is moving towards the independence of women. And there are things like egyo, even though, you know, you've grown up with it as a Korean, this is a normal thing you do. In the real world, everyone else looking at it, it's incredibly demeaning to women.
It is.
And because we don't see this this in the West, we're used to at least the pretense of equality between men and women. So we see this cuteness, this innocence, as something, you know, to be lauded. They're not being overly sexual in a obvious way, in their music, in their programs. So we think that's great, because there are a lot of people that are uncomfortable with the rampant it seems, sexuality of Western culture.
See, that's the thing, Dee. I am uncomfortable with the cutesy because it's worse than being blatantly sexy and in your face because it's underhanded. Underhandedly being sexy. It's even worse when you're cute on the surface and you're sexualized by grown old men who have pedophilic-like fantasies. It's not comfortable, really. It's perverted. And for a grown man saying that they like, say, a girly group like, I'm just going to say it again, Girls' Generation, because they're cute.
The most obvious example.
Yeah. Makes it really seem a bit off. Like, you know, because, you know, at the back of your mind, they're not looking at the girl's cuteness, but rather at, you know, the innate sexual image the girls give out. At the back of their minds, that's it. They're banging them. Shitless. Sorry. But yeah.
My problem with Girls' Generation, and I think it's partially why I have this block as to why I will never, just as far as the mentality I have now, I will never be able to be a fan of Girls' Generation, was because very early into their debut, I found out what kind of audience they were, you know, appealing to. Mm-hmm. And I think it was described both by Lisa Man as well as some of the members of Tsunishide, that their intention was to appeal to Ajashi fans, which are guys in their early to mid-30s who have, you know, full-time jobs. And from a business standpoint, it makes sense. They have the money. They're not engaged in relationships. They don't have anything to, you know, cause them to spend this excess money on other things. So you're blatantly taking teenage girls and designing them to appeal to the fantasies of a middle-aged man who really in this situation would be the same age as a brother or an uncle or something like that. So it's this, and then with the kind of disconnect from sexuality in the Korean society, it's now making it seem as though the, you know, the guys are unwilling to claim that they love Girls' Generation because they're sexy. So they're all saying they love Girls' Generation because they're like
pretty,
little sisters.
They're cute and stuff.
And they refer to them as, you know, little sisters. So now, you're taking, which is this is one of the things I hate most in fiction, and I've seen it done in Japanese fiction a lot, and I've spoken out about how much I hate it. But what you have is people who claim a familial connection, right? This person is like a brother to me, or like a sister, or like a father to me. And then what feels like 3 minutes after you claim that, you're engaged in a sexual relationship with that person. And what happens, and the same thing happens here, you're saying on the surface that your feelings towards this person, like why you like them so much, why you want to protect them, mm-hmm. is because they're like a younger sibling. But the real image in your head that you're afraid to tell other people is you like them so much because you want to have sex with them.
Yep, exactly. Look, I'm not a prude, okay? But there is a huge difference in being sexual and being sexualized. Being sexual is, you know, feeling sexy, confident in yourself, blah, blah, blah. While being sexualized is just being objectified. And sometimes I think the display of Egyo in all its disturbing forms just leads to female idols and girls to be seen in a sexual and almost pedophilic manner. So, yeah. Once these girls are seen in that manner, though, they are the object of grown men's sexual fantasies. And there you have it.
What makes it difficult is, and of course it's going to make this, what I'm about to say, sound hyperbolic, but you have to look at it. Korea has the age of sexual consent is 13 years old. And while you don't commonly have, as far as I know, grown men going after 13-year-old girls, but what you're having now is a situation in K-pop where very young girls, some from age 13, are being sexualized.
Is it really 13, though? It's confusing.
Yeah, it is 13.
Is it confirmed that it's 13 or 16?
It's 13. It's 13. It's 13 in Japan, and it's 13 in Korea as well. And I had not known that it was 13 in Japan, and then I had to think, like, is this an Asian thing that I'm unaware of?
I'm Asian, but I have no idea.
What commonly happens is they have child prostitution outlawed. So what you have in a situation is you can't have sex with someone that young, but the child cannot receive any gifts or anything that could be seen as payment. So So the simplest thing to do is just avoid engaging in sexual acts with children, you know, if you're not within their age group. So I think that's why people don't. But in terms of the entertainment industry is sexualizing children. So, you know, what's going to happen when an adult who, for example, may be in love with Sully from FX sees a girl in his neighborhood that looks like her?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's going to happen in that situation? This is going to be a high school student, inevitably, or younger. And you're going to be nurturing, really, a problem where grown men are attracted to children. And for the most part, people won't act on it. But what's going to happen when you do have the person that's confident enough to act on their feelings towards a child?
Oh, my God. And
that's, you know, a problem definitely in Western society we don't want to have to deal with. And we don't, I'm sure the Korean society doesn't want to have to deal with it on their own. But what's happening, and this article, this is an example, I'm definitely going to post a picture on the website, where Sully is wearing a miniskirt.
Mm-hmm.
And
she's sort of pulling up one side.
Her face looks completely innocent, but mm-hmm. yet she's lifting the skirt.
Yeah,
kind of in an invitation sort of way, and it's very, very disturbing.
Very disturbing, you're right. It's very creepy, actually. Look at the face and look at what she's doing.
And disconnect, her, right? Her facial disconnect. Expression. Yeah, her facial expression and what her body is doing seems like two completely different things.
Yeah.
And then you have, you know, the flip side, and we spoke about this when we were talking about Kiana. I'm sure this was off air, but
mm-hmm.
She's been sexualized since she was 14, like blatantly sexualized. She was the sexy member of the group of Wonder Girls, and people were saying Wonder Girls, who was a more cutesy group, really, that she was too much for the group. And I think part of the problem with her, especially growing up, now that she's legally, you know, seen as an adult, she's been sexualized for so long that
she doesn't know any better.
Right, that being sexualized is normal. So she would appear in a photo shoot like the one we were talking about earlier.
For the pole?
Yes. Some of the pictures are fine, but the one where she's sitting on the pole is just, it's too much, even for me. Yeah. And I have a high tolerance for this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. See, when that photo came out, I was like, we were talking, Dee and I were talking, and I was like, oh, she's just going to get a lot of hate for this. It's not going to stop. I mean, I'm not saying that she should say no to these photo shoots because she doesn't have a choice. Remember that, people. She doesn't have that much of a choice. But I guess for her, it's normal because she's been objectified since she was 14. She doesn't know any better. It's like, this is all in a day's work for me. Nothing. I'm just going to pose like this, pose like that, put on my sex face, and bam, ready to go.
But along the lines of, like, I'm more comfortable, even though she's, as messed up as it seems, she started as a young girl being sexualized. I'm more comfortable with that than I am with the disconnect between sexualizing a young girl and then pretending like we aren't.
That's
and
right. Me too.
Another translated article on the Grand Narrative was, is it a sin to like Girls' Generation because they're sexy? Or the
no.
confession of an average Korean man? No, but this, he makes the point in his article that from their debut, Girls' Generation, they seem like a cute group, and the whole idea was like little sisters. But this guy writes that it was G that really made him start to think differently of the group, where they mm-hmm. started wearing tight tops, short pants, uh-huh. that sort of thing. And he notices over this time that now he notices them as women rather than as girls. But he says the important point for him was that the clothes they wear, the lyrics they're singing, are designed towards sexual, are geared towards men having sexual fantasies. But then their facial expressions or the way they act off screen kind of is in direct conflict with that. So while the guy is led by them and by their management towards sexual fantasy, he now feels confused about himself, because, you know, this is a person that I should not be lusting over because mm-hmm. because they act like a child. because they seem like a child. But at the same time, it's like, again, it's kind of like the kid that knows how to get what they want. Mm-hmm. But now you take a person, it's more like a person who knows they're sexy and then uses it, but pretends like they're not using it.
Underhand, right? Underhandedly sexy. And that's what I hate. I like Girls' Generation. You know that, right? I am a Girls' Generation fan. And I know what their market is. I know who they're trying to sell their music to. But really, I tend to ignore it. Because it's different for a girl. For a westernized girl like me, for me, okay, yeah, I know what's going on. I'm not going to pretend, okay? I'm not going to pretend that they're cute. I'm not going to pretend that I like them because they're cute. I like them because they're very sexy, in a way. Yes, they are. And they're cute, too. But I wouldn't be denying that. It's because, hey, first is I'm female, and this is a major reason. I am from a Western society. Although I am in Asia right now, I came from a Western society. And, you know, in Western society, we take it as it is. You know, we don't really look at the world through rose-colored glasses. We're not really under the illusion that, you know, cute is just cute. There is something to it, especially when they wear these tight tops, very tight jeans. You know, right? You know what they're aiming for.
And the part that makes it disturbing for me, and I should mention that in the background, I've had a playlist of my music videos going, and just as you were talking, the previous video ended, and Tell Me Your Wish started. This is my problem.
That's it. What's your wish?
With Aegyo in K-pop, is mm-hmm. that the entire concept of the video is them as sexy genies that will grant any wish, and the lyrics go towards it, and the pictures that you get as well.
Pillow fight?
It's really a collage of men's fantasies, and then you're gonna turn around and act like this is not what you're doing. There's scenes with a bed behind one of the members that looks like it's, you know, it belongs in a love hotel. I mean, come on, what are you trying to portray here? And then at the same time, you know, this article mentions that, hey, I get it, you know, I've been in the industry, I know what you're doing, but part of it is because as men, we're encouraged to hide our desires because admitting to it is not considered decent. That's not what we do. So he's saying that, hey, if I'm aroused at 20-something-year-old women, you know, this is what's supposed to happen. I'm not supposed to feel bad about this. They're intentionally being sexy, okay? Even though, you know, there's a sinister nature behind it that everyone really involved in K-pop are grown men. And these are older men that are deciding hey, these young girls should act this way. And really, that's the worst part of it, that they really have very little choice in the matter. Nope. Men telling them that they need to behave a certain way. And really, men know what's attractive to men. So you understand from a business standpoint why.
But when you
throw in the kind of things that, again, come back to it, that Jang Jae-yeon talked about in terms of the whole prostitution angle of what happens with less popular celebrities and probably popular ones as well.
Especially if they're still in the
part of their contract where they have very little power. And it's this whole movement that seems to be a part of what's trying to keep women powerless, because like nothing is more demeaning than someone who is very confident in themselves, very assertive, and then they get on a TV show and everyone there wants to see them do Aegyo. Because I was mentioning off air, getting to know Sunny through Infinite Youth and seeing her personality there, and then seeing Sunny doing Aegyo is, you know,
she's forced. It looks like, you know, they tell her to do Aegyo, she says, no, and then does it anyway. And it's annoyingly cute and sickeningly sweet. And yeah.
And everyone loves her for it, but me, it's just like, if she had a choice, it seems like she wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
As good as she is at it.
Perfected 3 years of hard work.
It's like, you know, you again, back to the example of the child that knows they can get what they want. But sometimes you feel like you should work for the things that you get in life, right? And you should get things because you deserve them. not because you turn someone on and now they'll do whatever they want, whatever you want. It's kind of a part of becoming an adult, and I pray for the day when someone gets asked to do this and they say no, fuck you. Like, I would love to see that happen on TV.
Good luck.
I mean, obviously they're not gonna say fuck you, but just like no, and they're serious about no, as in there's no way this is gonna happen. Like, you need to cut this part out or move on to something else, because I'm not showing you this. I'm not gonna do that.
Sorry, you will not see that idol in the next album. She's gonna be out of the group.
And like, just back to We Got Married, my favorite couple, which was Kwon and Guyon. I really, really liked them because for them the gender roles were reversed, and for obvious reasons that I'm not going to get into. But just like every other guy on the show, Kwon was really insistent about seeing Aegyo, and she was just like, basically, no, fuck you. I don't do that. That's not gonna happen. And of course, eventually it did, but the fact that like he had to seriously work for it. Like, this is not, it's not a part of my personality, it's not something I do. So no.
We can't really change how Koreans perceive Aegyo because it's part of their culture. It's theirs. We can't do anything about it. But we can educate ourselves and try to understand why they're doing it. Although some people would rather ignore it, ignore the real reason. That's the thing. I want to be educated. Seriously, like, whenever I'm watching this or whenever I'm watching something, I want to know the rationale behind what they're doing. Because sometimes you just don't understand. And that's when things get a bit confusing. When things get a bit confusing, you get different ideas. And your understanding of an entire culture is skewed. You'd think that everyone does Aegyo? What do you think? And you think Aegyo is normal? For them, maybe. Why do they do it? Because they want things. They want things to go their way. But in the end, the control is still with the guy. You know, you don't have a choice. That's what you have to understand. You really have to understand that. And understanding that is sort of understanding why you see, I'll use Yuna for example, okay? Why you see Yuna doing the things that she's doing and understanding the idols better. Because it's unfair for them to get a lot of hate because it wasn't their choice in the first place. They didn't ask you to be sexualized and be objectified. They just wanted to perform. So
yeah, and that's part of the problem, that these that the singers have really started out as young teenagers that want to be celebrities. And unfortunately, a part of what's required to be celebrities is to be objectified. And it's obviously something that as they break out of their first contracts or whatever big companies they're from, and they become really their own singers, it's going to be something that they obviously turn their back on. Like, this is a part of a system that I was uncomfortable with growing up, and that I no longer want to be associated with. And I think as more and more of these, because there are so many idols, as the groups start to break up and as they start to grow up, that hopefully they're going to be able to bring about a change. And part of the problem is that, as we talked about Han Ye-seol a couple weeks back, is that when a woman stands up for change, nobody wants that. Like, they immediately want to shut up all her complaints. Definitely. Yeah. And yesterday, her company clarified rumors that she was dating, you know, a wealthy man. Yeah. And
they denied it.
I don't remember what you said specifically.
I said, yeah, right.
But what it reminded me of was when Namjoon decided to split from Sia and her agency, there were rumors that, you know, she was dating a rich man, and that's why she could, you know, afford to leave the group behind. And it's just the idea that a woman would stand up for herself and make her own decisions is obviously a completely foreign concept. And whenever something like that happens, it's instantly said that, you know, there has to be some guy behind her decision.
That's stupid.
Which is, you know, an entirely different level of fucked up.
Yeah,
but
that's stupid. It's like you don't have your own brain, right? You can't decide things for yourself. where's empowerment there? We're not going to see that anytime soon, though. So, you know, it's society. It's not just an isolated sector of Korean society, but this is inherent in their overall makeup as a country. So we can't do anything but just try to understand why they're acting that way. But, you know, hopefully things will change because women are supposed to be empowered. The world is changing. Women want more things now. They're not just housewives. They're not just people who cook for you, clean, and, you know, bear your children. They're capable of doing different things too. And, you know, women work too, right? They're not just meant to be locked up in the house, barefoot, pregnant, cooking something in the kitchen. I hate that image. It's like so 1950s or whatever, 1800s. What happened to modern society? And this is the crazy thing. Korea is the most wired nation, but in terms of empowering their women, they're so behind. And I don't mean this in a very, I'm not criticizing them, not really. I'm just pointing it out. That's how I see it. And that's the truth. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but they may want to work on that.
I think part of the problem is that as a nation, really, Korea has grown up very quickly. Mm-hmm. And obviously there are some parts that they're still very far behind on, but they're a developed nation. As far as anyone else is concerned, they have considerable clout on the global scale.
That's right.
But I guess because of the influence they have, the fact that they're so far behind in certain other things is excused. It's written off as it's a part of the culture you wouldn't understand.
Growing pains again.
Hopefully, you know, we see it soon because, you know, as adults, it makes me feel kind of terrible to see my contemporaries, really, because they're in my age group and younger, being, you know, diminished in this way. It's fine as long as you're being cute, but once you start to sound like, you know, you actually have an opinion, no one wants to hear it.
Mm-hmm. It's not good. So, you know how it is, like, whenever someone becomes rich very quickly, everything just changes and things go out of control. That I think that's how I see it as well for Korea, because they were very poor when the war happened, the First World War, the Korean War happened. From poor to rich in a matter of how many decades? When did the Korean War happen?
50s.
So that's like 50 years. In 50 years, they managed to turn their economy around from poor to very rich. It's a tough change, really. Sometimes you can't keep up with it. 50 years is a long time, yes, but in terms of a society 60 changing,
years, 60. Really? Yeah, from 1950 to 1953, so it's going on 60 years since it ended, which it hasn't, but whatever.
But yeah, and if you look at it, almost 60 years, yeah. 60 years may seem like a long time, but in terms of a society changing its views, it's not a long time. So they had to adapt to the change. They had to adapt to their sudden wealth. And again, you know, how do they adapt to their sudden wealth? We're going to bring in plastic surgery again. It's very competitive, right?
Yeah.
Hyper-competitive. It's a hyper-competitive society now because they're pressured. They're really pressured to do well. And if you're pressured to do well, you need to have an advantage. However you get your advantage. Fix yourself. Go to school. Go to the best schools. In a way, that kind of explains the Korean psyche to me. I understand them a bit better.
And of course, you know, we do wish, and it happens all over the world. We see other societies that are as bad for women or worse. And we do wish that, you know, they would be driven to improve themselves. But there are parts of their culture that directly conflict with what we want to see. And unfortunately, it comes down to, are we going to diminish their culture to just to beg for basic human rights? But what's going to happen is really you have to leave it to the people inside the country mm-hmm. to decide to move forward and then support whatever they decide to do.
That's right.
And, you know, of course, all you can do is show them that, hey, in other countries in the world, you wouldn't be treated this way.
That's right.
And it's up to them whether they want as much freedom as you have or they just want, you know, a tiny little bit more than they do now. But it's not, as bad as you may feel looking on it, it's not our responsibility to change them.
Nope.
And hopefully, as we've sort of hinted at it before, hopefully as K-pop continues to attempt to grow global, to go global, that they realize that certain things you have going on in the industry are just not going to fly. And,
true.
You know, you have to fix that before you decide to go further. And I think that's part of why they started looking out for trainee rights. It's not because they care about the trainees, you know. It's not because people's parents have started complaining or society is upset that more and more celebrities are committing suicide or admitting to having mental problems.
Yeah. It's because everyone is looking at them. That's it.
And the further you're trying to go, and of course, it's worse because they come from a civilized country. You know, if they didn't, it may not be as big of a deal, but you're perceived as a civilized country, so you have to act a certain way, and you have to conduct business a certain way.
That's right.
And the more people you have looking in, the more chance you have that some of the more powerful NGOs or the more powerful, you know, governing bodies are going to look at it and be like, you know, if this is illegal. Mm-hmm. Hey, it may not be illegal in your country, but according to the things you've agreed to and the bills you've signed and things like that, it is illegal.
That's
and you
right.
have to change it or, you know, face prosecution.
That's true. So as fans or as spectators, we really can't force change on them, but we can show them how it is where we live, right? And
yeah.
we can be understanding. We're not just going to belittle their culture, no. We will try to understand why they're acting that way. And, you know, understand that they're still growing pains, and that we're there to support them in every step of the way. And that's it for me, you know? I hope this made you understand how Ekyo and Korean culture in general is. I don't have anything to say anymore.
It just should show you why we and a few other people have problems with Ekyo and how it's used primarily to not only to make women submissive, appear submissive and weak, but it also really exploits the male because it's taking advantage of the fact that, hey, you're attracted to pretty girls, but it's also making you feel guilty about it at the same mm-hmm. time. So,
yeah.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we will come back with our last two segments, K-pop Crystal Ball, where I guess we're going to be talking about Kara.
Mm-hmm.
And our artist spotlight is going to be on Miss S of Brand New Stardom.
Mm-hmm.
Joking.
All right, guys, we're back and just in time for the K-pop Crystal Ball. And this week it's Kara, because they're going to be back soon. What do I say? I don't have much to say about Kara. Well,
why did you pick them then?
Kara is currently BSP's money maker. Not money maker, because I think Rainbow is making them a bit of money now. Just a bit. What do you mean, bit?
Yeah, they're starting to come into their own.
Mm-hmm. They've been around since 2007, and when they first debuted, their style was very different from how it is now. Their first album, I know, had Break It, and it had the girl who got married, Sung-hee, Kim Sung-hee.
Yes.
She's a very strong vocalist, but she left the group in 2008.
And it amazed me that they managed to rebound, because really they had no lead vocalist. Like Sunishi Day at the time had Taeyeon, One Girl had obviously Yeon, and suddenly they had people that could carry the song, and Kara just fumbled because without Sunghee they had nobody, and they added two new members, Hara and Jiyoung, who really didn't add much to the group at the time. But, you know, time passes, and Hara is the most popular member, aside from Jerry, who no one can deny. And, oh shit, that's another person. But anyway, Jiyoung has kind of amazed me in that she's kind of grown into a good singer. Not a great singer, but just someone who can kind of balance the song, and that's admirable. That was lucky on DSP's behalf that they managed to pick the right person.
Yeah,
but with the other members of the group, I think it is interesting trying to figure out where they will end up after the group breaks up.
I spent a lot of time thinking about them at work today, because I had downtime, remember?
Yeah.
I spent about an hour just sitting outside and drinking coffee, thinking about Kara. What has the world come to?
That's probably never something you've done before in your life.
Nope.
Sit there and you think about Kara and where, you know, where their career seems to be going.
Really, now that I'm saying it out loud, I'm wondering, why did I do that? It's so hard to figure out where they'll be in the future. Other groups, it's kind of easy. You can really tell. Right in front of you, you know where they're going. But Kara is a bit different.
It's because, and this is going to sound insulting, is that their talent is pretty much all on the same level. And it's a low it's a low bar. As bad as it sounds. Like, Hara is obviously the worst singer in Kara. But they've managed to last a long time just being average, and unfortunately that's what they are. They're average.
Not a long time yet. 2007
is it's 4 years. K-pop, incredibly long time. At this point, that's like forever.
They still have another year to go. The 5 year curse. But hey, they renewed their contract with DSP because they had the lost trust.
That was like the worst outcome possible. Like, I don't understand. Like, I don't see them lasting very much longer, and obviously they stay together because it's money. Obviously, it's not like a situation like JYJ or even like Super Junior, where the members that had a problem could leave and still make money. Kara, basically the lawsuit probably was an example of them saying to DSP, "Look, without us, you can't make money," and DSP saying to them, "Look, without us, you can't make money." So inevitably, you have to come back together.
Yeah, you have to set your loss to swallow your pride back.
I think they're one of the rare groups where, for individual members, it's far more beneficial to them for the whole group to be together than for them to be apart. With most groups, there's a member who you can look at least one, who you say, this person could definitely go solo, and not only would they be able to go solo, they could be successful. With Kara...
Oh, that was my first problem. Okay, I'm like, okay, so who can go solo? Just gonna sit here and light up one cigarette. Finish a cigarette.
Five cigarettes later. Who the hell can go solo?
No one. And then this is the funny thing. Someone was calling me. Like, what do you need from me? Is it important? I'm very busy right now. I'm thinking. This is true, okay? Call me later, I'm thinking, okay? This is my 15th time, do not disturb me. I'm on my official break, so do not disturb me. I racked my brains for Kara. Unbelievable.
It's like, and really, it was the song, which is the last song of theirs that I really enjoyed, that kind of showed me the difference in the members. And of course, big fans of the group are going to disagree with me. But I feel like, I guess it's kind of obvious that Sungyeon is the strongest vocally. I'm pretty sure she's a lead vocalist, but again, she's not that good by wide K-pop standards. She's not great, but she's better than everyone else
at that level. Yes,
Ji-young has improved. Yuri is a much better singer than you would think by looking at her.
Hi, Jaden.
I think Nicole has really good stage presence.
Yeah,
in terms of knowing what to do to, I guess, excite the audience. Hara is cute. I don't know. Hara has been making headway into acting, so I guess they determined that that's what she's gonna end up doing. Yuri, I have no idea. Like, it seemed like she would end up on variety shows inevitably.
Yeah, this is my problem. This is how I sorted them out. Okay. What are they doing now? I even had to take out my pen. It's really right.
You have to take notes. That's awesome.
Yeah. Pen and paper. So Nicole is the dancer. And that's what I wrote, okay? Nicole, dancer.
Okay.
Guhara, pretty face. / dancer.
Mm-hmm.
Yuri is the leader. And sometime vocalist. Ji-young, Macmei. And this is the thing, Ji-young, Macmei, not sure. Sungyeon, singer. And then question mark. God!
Oh God, it's hilarious that you have a question mark for her. But I've just been watching Lupin, the one that hit the high note in that song was Yuri, and that surprised me just now. I'm like, really? That's who that was? I thought it would have been Sungyeon, but I agree wholeheartedly with your assessment of Kara, and of course, talk with us not being big fans. We're not gonna know obviously what their strengths are. This is just going based on what we know of them. And yeah, like I said, they're an average group. Yuri though is extremely funny, and she's funny in a deadpan sort of way.
She's got it.
Making snide comments on the side.
Yeah.
And she really, to me, is the female equivalent of Isho. No, seriously, think about it. You know that's true.
Actually, yes. I mean, who could go out there and say, I'm a goddess, right?
No one else, nobody else can get away with it. Anyone else with her personality would be a bitch. And I'm not saying that she isn't, because like, a lot of what she says comes up as incredibly bitchy, but everybody's fine with it. It's the same with Ichigo. Like, if anyone else said the kind of shit he says, like, they would be buried in hate. But for some reason, their personality, their mannerisms just pulled it off. And I think she...
Oh, wait. Give me a sec. My notes are here.
Alright.
You know, I usually take out notes. Okay.
Go ahead.
Nicole, the dancer. She has potential to be sexy. So maybe she's the all-around entertainer.
I can agree. I think most likely...
Yeah.
It would be Nicole that would be able to pull off a solo career, even though she's not as talented vocally. I mean, like, when you look at, for example, Kiana, you look at that, really. And
yeah.
The fact that, like you said before, when you look at groups like Finkel, the most talented member isn't necessarily the one that's popular once they go solo, because Ihori was weak vocally, but very good looking. And
yeah,
stage presence, and I think that's what
Nicole
has. And Nicole is amusing.
Actually, I wrote something about Yuri too, because my next line here is, I'll read it now. I don't quite see her as the Yuri of the group. I really don't see anyone in the group having the Yuri potential.
I think, and of course we had mentioned at the beginning that Kara was intended to be the second Finkel.
Finkel, yeah.
Each member was assigned another member that they were the second version of, and for God's sake, I don't know where that stuff is. If my friend was here, he could tell you. But
oh, Joe.
Yeah, he struck me as way too obsessed with Kara. Like, of all groups in K-pop, Kara. But like, over time,
this is before Mr.
Yes, when Mr. came on, I was like, okay, I get it, I understand. But I think what happens is the parts of Yuri that are similar to Finkel are kind of split among the group members. I think you'd have to combine Nicole and Yuri to get Yuri. And with Nicole. Nicole got famous from Star Golden Bell. And I can't believe I forgot about that until just now. The Speed English segment. I think she's a genius. This is the only way to describe it. Because her role was basically, God, what do you call it? Where she has a word and she has to describe it so that someone can guess what word she has without her saying that word. And she would, like, say the most random, unconnected things, and people would guess the answer right, and every time they got the right answer, they looked confused. It's like, how did I even get at this conclusion? And just that was what cemented it in my head, that this girl somehow is a genius, and we don't realize it until way later. Yeah, at some point we're gonna go, you know, down, cool, smart.
Yeah, so that's all I wrote about Nicole, and I love how she shakes her butt too. Just added that to now. I didn't write that down. Okay, next person in my notes is Han Sung-yeon, lead singer? It's really here. I remember the question mark. And right. I think. Okay, it says here. I think will be a solo singer. Because it's obvious. Question mark again. And she's also good in variety, so we may see her from time to time guesting in variety shows. She's pretty funny.
I think Kara has that going for them. In general, the group members are very funny, like more so than any other girl group, I think. That probably all five of them, if they all continue to do entertainment, they're gonna end up as stars of variety to some degree.
Yeah, and now next is Guhara. Pretty right, spot on. Pretty face / dancer. And what else did I write? Well, Guhara's been dabbling in acting through City Hunter, so she may choose a road similar to Sung Yuri of Finkel. Yeah. Guhara, the pretty face. First thing I thought of is her face.
Her eyes. They haunt me.
What about her eyes?
They haunt me.
Why?
So big. Her forehead is huge. They like always me out. Go ahead.
And the leader, Yuri. Park Yuri. My note says the leader and main vocalist. How many vocalists do they have now?
It's because they don't have one that stands out. That's why. Like every other group has one. It's obviously the lead singer. Like if, to use an example that I haven't used yet, Sistar. Everybody knows who the lead vocalist is in Sistar. It's obviously Yorin. There's no one close. And then Soyu is the next vocalist. It's usually like that. There's one main vocalist, one sub vocalist, one rapper, and then everyone else is everyone else.
And then this is what I wrote, and I'm just gonna read it the way I wrote it. Yuri, comma, I don't know, .. Maybe she'll do well in variety as well because she has this goddess image that can't be fake.
And one thing is that she has a history as a radio show host, so
yes,
she has that to fall back on as well. I think she was quite successful too.
Yeah, with Shindong.
Yeah, she was very successful. So.
And now, Jiyoung. I don't even have her last name, just Jiyoung.
Fine.
Okay, thank you, Jiyoung. Thank you.
I don't know why I know their names.
Well, I wrote here the MACNE, period, not sure, comma, ha ha ha. She's very pretty, though. She may be a model or something. She's the youngest, so she has a bit more time, which is true. She has more time than the others to figure out what she wants to do with her life in the future. Period. That's all. It took me an hour to come up with that. My God.
And it's your fault for picking them, because I had nothing to do with who K-pop crystal ball was going to be this week. I know who was going to be next week, but
yeah,
this week. And you said Kara, and I said okay, and I did not think about it anymore the rest of the day. But clearly you agonized over it, so, you know.
Oh, yes. You have no idea. You know what I told you, Kara? I'm like, oh, shit. I'm just going to go out. I'm going to think. I disappeared. I was quiet for a long time, and you know why. I was outside for about 2.5 hours. I spent an hour thinking. Writing, drinking coffee, smoking. And then an hour and a half walking around trying to figure out if I missed something. Imagine that. A total of 2.5 hours thinking about Karen. All I could come up is what, 5 misty lines for the 5 members. And I knew I was missing someone because originally Jiyoung wasn't there. I thought there were 4 girls.
That's terrible.
Oh my goodness. But it's really hard to figure out what's going to happen in the future for them because they're not like other groups where it's clear cut. that they have a definite career path in the future. And yeah, D, you're nasty, but you're right, because their talent is at the same level and the bar isn't that high. Kara fans, don't kill us. But you know, we like them.
Yeah, that's the absurd part. I have no problem with Kara. I like them enough to, if a song comes on, I won't change it. I'll watch their music videos, but I'm not passionate about Kara. But I don't dislike them at all. And it's not a situation like Sinashide, like I mentioned before, where I don't see myself ever liking them. But with Kara, I can see how they're really one good album, one good music video away from me being a fan of Kara.
I guess we're similar in that sense. We don't really dislike anyone. I just tend to pay attention to the groups that catch my eye. And Kara has caught my eye after Mister. I like them. So fans, don't come after us with pitchforks, because this is really all we can say. It's strange because we like them, but we don't know why we like them.
It's like, I like you guys, but you shouldn't be singers. That's how we feel almost. Like,
you
I don't see how they're going to have a long musical career.
No.
Unless, you know, they have fantastic production behind them all the time. But, and they'd have to stay together as a group. I don't see them individually being singers. But being in entertainment, I think I would be upset if they just disappeared. I think they all have personalities that we could stand to still see.
Mm-hmm. And I love Guharan City Hunter. She was annoying. She was a pest, but she's cute. The kind that you'd want to throw around in the room, like kick her butt out of the room because she's annoying. Surprisingly, she's good. Maybe a few more acting projects, and maybe she can do drama. You know, we can't really say much about Kara because it's really hard. So we now move on to the artist spotlight.
God, I'm sure this one is going to be short.
Very short.
Miss S is a group under Brand New Stardom, but unfortunately, there's not a lot about them in English.
Yeah.
Tragically, I guess it's due to their lack of popularity, the fact that they're slightly more hip-hop oriented, and they're girls, and they're under what was, up until really this year, a unknown record label.
What was that name again?
Brand New Stardom.
No.
Which is
their former.
I have no idea.
Man, starts with an E, that's all I remember. But they're with Joe PD now?
Yes. Joe PD's company, Brand New Stardom. And the members, I'm not even sure about.
Their names are. There's two girls.
The names we're gonna go with are Yumi and Haeyoung. They're both rappers.
Mm-hmm.
So that is interesting. And they're joined on one of their albums by Nemo, who is a former, you know, SM artist of all things.
Shinvi.
And yeah, when we first researched them last week and we were supposed to talk about them, when I said that Nemo, I already looked at that, like, oh, it's Nemo from the song with Daesung, we were just like, oh.
Yeah.
Because the song was so long ago. But Miss S really came, I think, into current public consciousness because group label mate Block B covered one of their songs over for...
I love that song.
I guess for shits and giggles, it was good. It's not on any album or mixtape, but it's a very interesting take on the song. It's basically a male version of Miss S's original song, and I think it's great in that both versions of the song are on par with each other.
Mm-hmm.
There's not one that's, you know, incredibly better, and that's in a good way.
And you can actually superimpose the two songs together and maybe make a duet. I've seen a video on YouTube somewhere. Mm-hmm. I'll try to find the link if I can see
it. It sounds really good.
Yes.
With them together.
Very good.
And I'm hoping that if Brand New Stardom makes enough money with Block B, and Verbal Gent just released the album on their label, and I think Skull released the album on their label.
Mm-hmm.
So the more money they make, I hope that Miss S, if they're not under any contract issues or anything like that they're able to release another album soon. Because they had, the last thing they had was a...
Last year, mini album, Promise You. I have that.
And that was really good.
Yep, that's the only album that I have.
Thing. Promise You was done with Jung So Lee, and I looked them up recently not in terms of to do this episode, but I saw some of their performances with Jung Soo Hee, which led me to think that Nemo was no longer part of the group for whatever reason. Whether, you know,
Nemo, I think, was a project member.
That makes sense.
For the first album, because they don't really have a vocalist. Someone needs to sing.
Yeah, they're both rappers, and I guess it's easier than having someone continuously guest star or do background vocals and not get credited like C-Love does for male groups. Mm-hmm. But they redid Vibe's song Promise You with Jung Soo Hee, and they were all over shows in 2010. And I never knew that they would. I knew the name Miss S, and I think it came to me when Miss A debuted. I was like, this yeah. name sounds like someone else had it.
Yep.
And I think their debut song was with Namgiri.
Yes.
Oh God, I can't remember the name of it.
That's why people were confused. They thought that Namgiri was in the group.
I need to look up.
They've been around since 2008, and as far as I know, they just have one full album. It's called
S-Class.
S-Class, yeah. And then they also have one single and one mini album. The mini album is the only release that I have. It has the song Poppy Red Block over.
The name of the song with Namgiri is Don't Cheat or Cheater. And
ah,
I think
Giri yes.
the music video as well. And that's where I know the name Miss S from, but I never really, at the time, looked up the song.
And I remember you went on a Sorry About the Shop.
Yeah. Yes. When I realized that the album was there and the single, I had to do a little bit more. I think that the mini album, the mini album was not available in my region for some reason, so I had to get it from Korean Soryobata. But when I finally listened to them, I think it was because of Block B with Over. I was like, why have I not listened to them? And
yes.
like, they're completely relevant to my interest. I'm into hip hop. I know that the scene needs more female rappers that, you know, actually have talent, as opposed to the female idol rappers that we get. And like, everyone continues to make these statements that, you know, so-and-so is the best female rapper. And obviously, uh-huh. not discrediting Tasha, because I'm not even talking about, I'm not complaining about Tasha. But just the kind of ignorant statements that are made when people don't have any idea of who's out there, partially because they're not promoting. So this is definitely why we need to talk about Miss S. Both rappers have a considerable amount of talent, and it's a shame that you don't hear more from them.
Yeah, and the reason why I chose them is I'm hoping for a comeback.
Yeah, just like how the other people we featured have yep. showed up again.
We're psychic.
Yes. We're hoping that our magic works with
yeah.
Miss S as well. And especially, you know, the more money... You've seen it too with Gummy, for example. The more money the idol groups are able to make, the more likely it is that the less idol-like members are going to get to make albums. Because even though Verbal Jin and Skull are under Brand New Stardom, you know, they were famous before. So they're going to be able to make albums regardless. But someone like Miss S, who is more unknown, it's definitely going to be harder.
And honestly, they only came into my attention because of that song, Over.
It's such a fantastic song.
I know.
I really appreciate Seiko's songwriting ability, because Block B's version doesn't let the song down, and it really sounds like a conversation when it was mixed together.
Yep.
It sounds like a conversation between a man and a woman, which is great.
Yeah, try to find that video, if you can still find it.
I found it with subs already.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. You post that so they can see and hear. Well, they won't be seeing much, but yeah. It's just a photo.
Yeah.
You can read the lyrics and just listen to it. It's good. Very good. And I thought, hey, Block B did a duet? That's how stupid I was. I'm like, huh? Did some research and then found out about Miss S. Then bought their album.
I want a physical copy of this album. I'm going to have to look into getting that. And it's terrible because, like, I have a trip to go on. I can't spend money. And then, like, Yuki's album comes out today. There's Miss S that I've wanted for a long time. And I'm like, must be an adult. must be at the
door. Do you think it's easier for me to find that album in Korea, or maybe they look at me like, what?
You might be able to find it in Korea. I don't know where. Like, it maybe. It's just like sometimes you have in record stores, you have albums that you don't expect to find. It's not that old. It's a 2-year-old album. But what matters is, maybe you could go to their office and ask for an album.
Brand new store. That might work. Office? Where is his office?
You could ask him on Twitter.
Haha, where's your office? I'm gonna buy an album. Or maybe you can give me an album.
I don't know what type of like. So tell him you wanna buy Miss S's album. Or just ask him if it's still in school. I don't know.
Does he reply?
I think he does. He interacts with fans a lot on Twitter and on Tumblr as well. So
probably do that. I'll get you that album because it's hard to find a copy of that album. They're not that popular.
Yeah, the problem is when people don't have interest in something. Sometimes you'll be surprised the albums that are still in print that you can still order, and then other times like a 6-year-old album is still in print, but an album released 2 years ago is out of print. That doesn't make sense. But that happens.
I've experienced that with Tasha. Her old albums are out of print. Sad.
But I think if she starts, when she starts promoting again, chances are those albums are going to be printed again because, you know, people are going to be interested in it. So they have to make copies available.
Yeah. So here's to hoping that they come back soon, preferably in the next month or so, but that's impossible because all the big girl groups are going to be back. Maybe in December.
That would be nice. That would be a good Christmas present.
Yeah. That would make everyone happy. Not everyone, but both of us happy.
And like, life has been making us happy. I mean, we're getting Booga Kings. I mean, come on.
I mean, I got Lisan back and I got Verbal Chip back, so I should be happy. And I'm getting JYJ's MV, so I guess I'm pretty much happy. Yeah. So life is good for us lately. Not too much drama. Isn't that great?
Yeah, well, not it's not great for a show, but it's great for people's lives.
I like my life to be peaceful. I like the episodes to be sort of peaceful, but it's not good for the show, because there's nothing to talk about. But hey, you know what? Everyone can find something to talk about. I like how K-pop is, you know? There's always something new every day.
Yeah.
And the amount of releases, wow.
Yeah, there's always something new to listen to, which, again, for such a small music industry, is amazing.
It is. Remember when we almost skipped an episode? We had to go through a lot of releases because it's been more than a week. More than a week, and they release a lot of tracks. Wow. It's amazing. No wonder the industry isn't really sustaining itself.
It's just too much songs.
Hey, why are you complaining? As a fan, you should be happy.
Yeah, but like the sad part is that there's no room for groups like Miss A to promote, which is the problem. I still think that we should do like a raffle type system and say, hey, of the groups, you know, these are your time slots, these are the shows you can appear on. Some groups are going to be lucky enough to appear on more than one show a week. Maybe we could balance it with popularity. Like, the more popular a group is, the more slots they have in
more
the raffle,
tickets.
The more tickets they have, the less popular or smaller company, they have less. But, you know, it's still, you know, luck of the draw. I think that would be nice. You have 4 shows. I think Music Bank is the longest. It's slightly over an hour. Music Core is the shortest. So there are roughly each show has about 12 slots. So you got about 48 slots. And I think that would be the fair way to do it. So yeah, some weeks you may not have your favorite group on the show you like to watch. Other weeks they might be on. But it allows for people to promote longer. It allows for people that never get to promote to actually promote. And I think more underground artists would be interested in it if, you know, they actually, if they didn't have to pay, which is the big problem. Mm-hmm. And if they actually had a chance of people seeing them.
Yes. It's going to be good for everyone. It's balance in the industry as well. And in the long run, it's going to be good for the Korean music industry. If they have a variety of people performing. So, yeah. All right. We're done.
Hooray.
Hooray. Hooray. Remember, we're your friends, people. No pitchforks, please.
Don't hate us for the things we said about Kara and Sonishide and whoever else and Aegyo and, you know, all the negative things we've said. No. take it with a grain of salt and know that we still like K-pop. We don't dislike these people. That's not what we're getting at. It's just a criticism of the industry, and certain things have to be said.
An outsider's point of view in a very objective manner, so to speak.
Rational, I would like to think. Yeah.
Of course, that's why we're called the Always Rational K-pop Podcast. We're hoping that we're rational.
Yeah, we think we sound that way sometimes. And of course, the email address is thealwaysrationalkpoppodcast@gmail.com, the entire name. No spaces, no dots, no special characters. It's just the name. Twitter.com/ARKpoppodcast. Facebook, search for us, like us, please. We need 5 more people to get to the shortened URL.
Yes, please.
The website is arkpop.com, where you can find all of that stuff. The email addresses are there in every post. Twitter accounts on the sidebar. The Facebook accounts on the sidebar. So just click the link and you get to Facebook. Hopefully you're logged in. You should be. Almost everyone is all the time. Click like. It's that simple.
Yep.
5 more people do it. We know we have enough subscribers to get 25 people on Facebook. 5 more people do it. We get a shortened URL. It's nice and pretty. I could say it'll probably be something like ARKpop podcast or ARKpop, because
shorter
the whole
better.
Name makes me insane. I cannot believe that
fault.
I decided. Yeah, I know it's my fault. That's the part. That's the worst part. It was my idea. I have no one to blame but myself and you for going along with it.
Hey, who am I to stop you? Because I was out of ideas too. Who am I to stop you? Damn it.
So sad. So I think at this point, I think we're done. Episode 26 complete. Yep. It's a wrap. I'm gonna go listen to this mashup of Miss S and Block B forever.
Fine.
This is gonna be my new Neverland. That song has been, after 2 days, that song's been dethroned back to an old standard, which is it's not over.
You have no idea how many times she's watched the U-Kiss MV Neverland. I'm like,
it's so terrible.
It's enough.
It's not even. Now see, you're just being mean. It's basically something like SHINee's music videos. It's just of dancing. It's not good, but it's not bad. It's not memorable. I think it's the song really why I keep watching it.
You know what? I'm just gonna go back to listening to the album over and over again. Okay.
First, you can listen to the mashup.
Yep.
Definitely. And just to be fair, the Tumblr user who I guess did the mashup is Minhyuk Likes Your Dimples. So, shout out.
Nice name. Thank you. Thank you very much, Tumblr user. I love you. Alright, everyone, and that's a wrap.
Alright.
Episode 26 of the All Is Rational K-pop Podcast. So, until then, have fun.
Good night.
Have a good weekend. Bye. Teddy.